And I want to spend just a little while tonight on this subject. Jesus loves me, this I know. Now, we know that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, I'm going to allow the Bible to tell us tonight just how much He does love us. And so that's what our focus is going to be on tonight for just a little while, this evening for just a little while before we go home, and hopefully we can all get some rest. But we want to begin in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, there's several verses that we want to share with you about the love of Christ. But there's a particular statement that's made in verse 1 of John chapter 13. And I'll go ahead and share it with you before I read the verse. But the Bible says He loved them unto the end. And so that's a demonstration of just how much Jesus Christ loved those that were following Him and His disciples. So let's begin reading with verse 1. And then we're going to share a few more verses with you throughout our message tonight. But I do appreciate those that are watching online and those that are here tonight. So the Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end." So let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together, and we thank You for the love that You show us each and every day. Lord, You love us beyond measure. We can't comprehend it. We can experience it. We can learn about it, and we can read about it. But truly, Lord, Your love is amazing for Your people. And so, Father, I pray that You'll help us this evening, that You'll touch lives, that You'll speak to hearts, that You'll help me. And Lord, those that are listening and watching online, we pray that You'll help them, encourage them. And Lord, help us to just get a glimpse this evening about Your love and just how magnificent it is. And so, Father, I pray that You'll bless tonight, for it's in Jesus' name, amen. He loved them with an everlasting love. There are a lot of things that we don't know in life. There's a lot of things that we can't explain. There's a lot of things that, happenings that you wonder sometimes, why did this happen or why did that happen? And so there's a lot of things that we may not truly have the answers for. But there are some things that we can know. Now, I can't say tonight that we'll ever understand this side of eternity. I can't ever say tonight that we'll understand the true depth of the love of Christ. But I can share with you a few verses tonight that will help us, and just a few thoughts about just how much He does love us. And in a sense, I would like to share with you tonight just simply the love of Christ. The love of Christ. And I want to begin tonight by saying that the love of Christ is a permanent love. The love of Christ is a permanent love. Where the Bible says He loved them unto the end, that's a permanent love. Now, in a human relationship, in relationships here on earth or in this life, there are times that love is challenged. There are times that that love can grow cold. There's times that there's certain causes. There's distance can cause hindrances in love. Misunderstandings can cause hindrances when it comes to love. Mistakes in life, people making mistakes in life can cause a hindrance in love. But the love of Christ never changes. The love of Christ never changes. We don't have to worry about whether we are loved or not when it comes to Christ. If you can remember back that far, if you can remember back when you used to write little love letters to someone that you were fond of, and were y'all of the group that says that took the flower and says he loves me or she loves me and she loves me not? And then I'll be honest with you, when I did it growing up, I would count ahead. Y'all know where I'm getting at, right? I'd count ahead. And when I saw it wasn't going to work out right, I'd pluck two off. And so, you know, growing up, we experience love and we experience feelings. But the love of Jesus is a permanent love. It's permanent because it's about Him and not about us. In other words, yes, He loves us, but it's His character, it's who He is, it's what the Word of God teaches us, that it's all about Him. And that's what we need to understand tonight, that His love for us is about Him, because He's holy. You know, it's still amazing, and I'm going to get to this in just a few minutes, but I want to make mention, and I repeat it quite often, but it amazes me that He loves us as we are. That we don't have to do anything to get Him to love us any more or love us any less, because He loves us everlasting. It's a permanent love. And think about where you were before you got saved, before you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you tell yourself or you ask yourself, was I truly a lovable person when it comes to the love of Christ? And if we're honest with ourselves, we would have to say, no, I wasn't a very lovable person. But when Jesus Christ got a hold of our heart and got a hold of our life, and we experienced just exactly how much He did love us, and how that when we asked Christ to forgive us of our sins and we felt that weight lift, then we're experiencing the love of Christ. We're experiencing His love. So think about our life and the fact that He still loves us just as we are. Still loves us. So it's a permanent love. It's kind of like, you can buy a marker a magic marker that says this is a permanent marker. You know, and you write it up on a board maybe you're writing it on something. And do you realize that even though it says permanent marker, that there's things that can still clean it off? We have a calendar at work, and we have a calendar that people write their vacation on and is when they're going to do it. And sometimes somebody will make a mistake and they'll use one of them permanent markers. And then somebody will say, well, you can't erase it now. And especially if they write it down and it's not approved, and they'll say, well, it's permanent now. And then that's when you get some hand sanitizer and a little bit of alcohol and wipe it off and say, it's not permanent anymore. But that's not the love of Christ. The love of Christ is permanent. We never have to worry about whether He loves us or not. You know, because if we're honest with ourselves, there's times that we might make a mistake, or there's times that maybe we aren't as lovable as other times. But we don't have to worry about Him loving us, because it's a permanent love. There's something else about His love. And this actually, when I read this, and when I read about this passage or in this passage, and I start thinking about the love of Christ, I can't help but think about His love is powerful. The love of Christ is powerful. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 35. Notice what the Word says. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Great big question mark. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can any of those things separate us from the love of Christ? The Bible says, and as it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him. Here's those words again. That loved us. And then the writer says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creatures shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I believe that covers a lot of things. When you start, if we had time tonight, and we started dissecting each one of those words, you would realize that a lot of these things that we experience in life, well, we can be rest assured that His love is so powerful that there's nothing that can separate us from His love. There's nothing that can separate us from it. There's nothing that we can do to make Him love us any less or any more than what He does right now. There's no change in our life that we can make that makes Him feel any difference in us. The difference is how we feel about Him. See, that's the difference. Because when He changes our life, then our life changes and we want to do things to please Him. It doesn't make Him love us anymore. But what it does is it makes us love Him more. It makes the changes in us, the changes in Him when it comes to the love of Christ. The changes in us, it's how we treat people. It's how we treat life. It's how we go through these circumstances. When it comes to these things that I read to you just a few moments ago, when it talks about nor height nor death or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, there's times in our life that we might be guilty that we've let circumstances, and I know folks that did this and that have done this, they've let circumstances cause them to drift away from God. But it was the people doing the drifting, not God doing the drifting. You see, that's the love that God has for us, and the remarkable thing in the understanding that we have tonight is there's nothing that we can do to make Him love us any more. And there's nothing that we can do to make Him love us any less. You see, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. But notice what those verses say, and they end with saying this, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You say all this love that we experience is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's we're saved through Him. You know, we can't make ourselves any better. We can't make ourselves any purer. But as I mentioned this morning, I'm so thankful that when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees the blood of the Lamb. That's who He sees. That's who He sees. He sees the change in my life through Jesus Christ. So it's a permanent love. And there's something else tonight. His love is personal. And this is dear to our hearts tonight. And there's a verse that was Brother Ward's favorite verse, or one of his favorite verses, was in Galatians 2:20. The Bible says, "For I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God," three words, "who loved me." Who loved me. And not only did He love me, but He gave Himself for me. You see, that's what makes it personal. Those me's, He loved me. He gave Himself for me. You see, that makes it personal. It makes it personal. He gave Himself for me. And I get overwhelmed when I stop and think about time and time again how I've disappointed Him and I've failed Him and I've done things. But yet I remember these verses and I remember how much He loved me and how it made it personal. You know, the night that I got saved, and it was in a youth group, but the night that I got saved, you know, it felt like it was just me and Him. There were people around us, and I was 15 years old, and there was some of my peers that were there, and they were sitting there, but I know that the night that I bowed my head, and it was just me, it was between me and God, and the message that was being proclaimed that night from the preacher. And I remember when I bowed my head, and I asked Jesus Christ in my heart, I wasn't worried about what anyone else was doing. I wasn't worried about whether my friends were doing it or I wasn't worried about, but it was all about me and Him. And it was all about my relationship. And when I asked Christ in my heart and I asked Jesus Christ to save me, it was a difference in me. But it was that love. You see, I get overwhelmed when I start thinking about just truly how much He loves us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. And when we try to compare ourselves to others, then we can be guilty of saying, well, I'm not that bad. Or maybe I didn't do this. You know, I didn't do this when I was before I got saved. And you start comparing yourselves to others, and you start thinking, well, you know, I'm not doing that bad. But when we compare ourselves to a holy God, and when we start comparing ourselves to Him, then we're just like everybody else, just a wretched sinner that needs Christ, that needs to be saved. You see, it's not about what we do or what we've done. It's all about what He has accomplished. You see, that's the love. That's the love that He has. And the fact that He still loves us and knows us like we are, that's pretty amazing to me. That's pretty amazing to me. And we compare ourselves to a holy God, and we're humbled tonight to know just how much He does love us. Because if we stop and evaluate our life where we were before we got saved, and after we got saved, and because we still weren't perfect and aren't perfect, and when we start evaluating ourselves and see some of the shortcomings and to know that He still loves us, you see, that's what makes it personal. It's personal. You see, He loved me and gave Himself for me. But I'll back up just a little bit. Where the writer is saying this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But you see, it's not yet not I, but it's Christ that lives in us. You see, that's the change that takes place. The change that takes place is Him living in us. And as He's living in us, we don't have those desires that we used to have. You see, that's part of that love, Him living in us, and the life that we now live in the flesh, we live it by faith. Well, it's faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me, who loved me. You see, that's what makes it personal. And when we compare ourselves to just who God is, we're humbled by His personal love. His personal love. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. You know, sometimes we're guilty about not remembering names. And sometimes, especially if you've maybe hadn't seen somebody in years and they'll come up to you and they'll say, do you remember me? You know, and nobody wants to say, I ain't got a clue. Nobody wants to say that. So you're kind of kind to them and you'll say, well, you know, and you never will answer, even though you know in your heart you don't know who they are. And you're trying to get little hints from them as to who they are. And you'll say, well, do you remember? I was so-and-so. And then it clicks with you. You say, oh, yeah, I remember that. How are you doing? And then you talk to them like you've known them forever. Y'all aren't guilty of that, right? But God loves us so much that He knows us just who we are, knows everything about us, knows just what we're doing, knows how we're doing it, and He's never forgotten us. You see, that's the personal love that we have through Jesus Christ. He loves us so much. We might forget things. We might forget a name, or we might forget how we met someone, or we might forget those things, but He's not going to forget us. You see, that's that personal love that He has. And when I think about that, who loved me and gave Himself for me, then I have to take that personal. Only God can do that. Only God can love us like that. And I say the words, only God. Because that's what makes His love real. Because it's His love. His love. Then next tonight, the love of Christ is past knowledge. It's past knowledge. And you question, you say, well, what do you mean by past knowledge? Let me read to you a verse. That's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Our minds and our abilities have limitations. Our minds and our abilities have limitation. And as much as we try to understand His love, we can't. As much as we try to understand just the power of Jesus Christ going to the cross for you and for me, just the understanding that He would do that for us is amazing. It's amazing. It's that the love of Christ is past knowledge. We don't know why He loves us so much. If we start thinking about that question, why? We don't know why He loves us so much. But I don't have to know why to accept it. You see, I don't have to know the answer, why did He love me so much? I'm just grateful for it. I'm grateful for it. After our study this week in Vacation Bible School, and after our study this week and all the lessons, it has reminded me the condition of man. We already knew, and we've already studied it, but just in going through those lessons that we had, then it reminds us the condition of man and how that God works with man through time. He worked with man. He dealt with man. And He did all these things. But everything He did was because He loved man. He loved man. How could... You know, God warned people in the Scriptures. He worked with people. There was judgment that came to people. But He made a way. And that way is Jesus Christ. He made a way. And through all that, He still loves us. He still loves us. It's past our knowledge. But I will say tonight, the answer is God. The answer is God. Something else that we have tonight when we're talking about the love of Christ, and that is His love is a provoking love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The Bible says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." What does that constraineth mean? How does the love of Christ constraineth us? Well, let me kind of put it simple for us tonight. His love motivates us to serve Him. His love motivates us to serve Him and to love Him more. Why did He do what He did? Because He loved us. Why do we do what we do? Why did we spend the time preparing for the hours that was spent preparing for Vacation Bible School? We had a good time. We had a good, and the kids loved it, and we're so thankful for it. But why did we do what we did? Because we loved them, and because Christ loved us, and we wanted to get the message out. We want to get the message out that Jesus loves you. We want to get the message out because people are lost and they need Christ. We want to see others saved. And we're grateful. When we read missionaries' letters on Wednesday night, I rejoice when I hear about people getting saved. I rejoice. And I'm thankful for those that have that desire to serve the Lord because of the people that need Christ. You see, the love provokes us to do that. The love provokes us to serve. The love of Christ provokes us to work and to serve Him. and to do what we do. The love of Christ. You see, His love is the reason. And we love Him and we serve Him because He first loved us. He first loved us. And then lastly tonight, His love is a present love. A present love. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the king of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he loveth us." How can we be fearful of the future when we have the love of Christ? You know, there's some things about this life that we get troubled. There's some things that's going on in our world that we don't like, and we believe it's going totally against God's word. But how can we be so fearful of our future when we have the love of Christ? You see, we are objects of His love. We are objects of His love. We may have a difficult kinds of difficulties, maybe I should say, in this life, and we might have physical problems, and we might have people problems, and we might have stress problems, and we can have all these kinds of problems, even some mind problems and some shortcomings and all those things. We can have problems, in every way, shape, or form. But if we can just focus on the love of Christ and try to realize just how much He loves us and just how much and how wonderful our future is going to be, we've got reason to praise the Lord. We've got reason to praise the Lord. And we can get through any hardship that we have if we focus on the fact that He loves us. You know, sometimes it's hard when we're going through a hardship and our mind starts to doubt a little bit, or maybe our mind becomes foggy or becomes troubled, and you know, sometimes if we're not careful, we can be guilty to ask, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen? Or, you know, we can be guilty of that. I've been guilty of that. But when I stop and focus on the verses like what, and this is just a few of them that I shared with you tonight. There's just a few of them. There's so much more. There's so much more. But when we start focusing on just how much He loved us, and I will tell you this, just as a reminder to us tonight, that Jesus Christ took our place on the cross, and that's how much He loved us. That's how much He loved us. He took our place on the cross. He died on the cross for our sins. But you know, it didn't stop there. He's not on the cross anymore. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But I've got news for everyone tonight based upon what the Scripture tells us. He's not in that tomb anymore either. But you see, we rejoice tonight because He's on the throne. You see, we've got so much to be thankful for as believers in Christ. When we start focusing on His love, then the cares of this life, you know, they trouble us, but they don't mean as much when we focus on the love of Christ. Jesus loves me. This I know. Let's pray. Father, thank You for our time together. And Lord, we're thankful for Your word and how it helps us, and it instructs us, and it keeps us, and help us that we can read it and we can stay focused on Your love. And yes, we know that people are lost and they need Christ. And Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior, that's never had forgiveness of sins, Lord, I pray that they'll get things right. And those that are watching online, I pray that if there's someone watching that doesn't know Christ, that they'll get things right. But Lord, we rejoice tonight of the love that you have for us. We're grateful tonight. And how that we can rejoice tonight just simply because of your love. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord, we know that's love. That's love. So Father, we pray that you'll speak to hearts during this invitation. And if there's someone that needs Christ or someone that needs to come and pray, Lord, I pray that they'll be willing to come. We rejoice tonight over your love, and we're grateful for tonight that you loved us. Father, bless our time as this invitation begins, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.